prepare for a truth revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
And good morning, Truth Revolution. The truth will set you free. I'm Dave, with me is Pastor Jeff of Revolution Church.
Good morning. You are welcome to come to Revolution Church. Man, we start at 10:15 this morning.
Kick off about 45 minutes.
Yes.
Get up and get ready.
I'm going to be there probably in spirit and body, maybe one of those.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, come out of Revolution Church this morning. Also, go to our website, truthrevolution.tv. We say faith meets reason right here on our show.
Yep. You don't have to unload your brain in order to... to be faithful. You don't have to unload your faith in order to have a brain.
That's right. And last week, you know, usually we talk about evidence for faith. How we know Christianity is true, how we know God is real, how we know Jesus rose from the dead.
Yeah. Well, we're in the middle of a second part of a very interesting subject that we've been talking about, and it started last week, and I couldn't wait for this week because philosophy is one of the, even though I don't like dilemmas, after actually thinking about it and then talking to you about it, I've kind of made my philosophy, I found where my philosophy was at and why.
Yeah, so. We had some interesting discussion after the show last week, and we were talking about philosophy and how philosophy is important, and we said everybody has a philosophy of life.
Right.
It's only a question of whether it's a good one or a bad one, whether it's clear and concise and well thought out, or whether it's just fuzzy and unsure and wobbly. Most people's philosophies of life are wobbly. They're unsure. They just kind of waffle through life, bouncing from one thought to another thought, doing whatever they feel like at the moment.
Now, do you think that hypocritical people are because of a wobbly philosophy, or is it the other way around? A wobbly philosophy because they're hypocritical?
Oh, that's a good question.
Which came first, the chicken or the egg?
Probably both, man, really. I mean, I can tell you this. If you have a wobbly philosophy, you will be a hypocrite at some point. Because, well, first of all, we're all hypocrites at some point. But really, if you don't know what your philosophy in life is, you're going to come upon an instance where, well, maybe this is the right thing to do, and you're going to do it. And then later, you're going to come upon a different instance, and, well, maybe the other thing's the right thing to do. You're going to do that, and you're going to look hypocritical.
Right, without actually trying to be.
So if you don't want to be a hypocrite, you need to know what you believe, why you believe it, and what actions you plan on taking. And that's what having a philosophy of life is all about. That's why we study philosophy in part, is so that we can know what we believe is right and is wrong and is good and bad, what choices we should make.
Right.
I want you to write out some statements that will make up your philosophy of life. And so if you're listening, I got some homework for you today.
Great.
I mean,
now he's handing out homework.
You can come back, listen to this on truthrevolution.tv if you need more time. But for right now, just write down some statements that you think make up your philosophy of life. Okay. For instance, some statements that help me make up my philosophy of life. If I don't make a positive impact on the world, my life is wasted. Okay. Never be late.
Boy, don't I know that.
Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Hard work is amazingly valuable, and being lazy is a horrible and unrespectable way to live. All right, these are some of the statements that made up my philosophy of life. Mm-hmm. Now, I want you to, if you're listening, write out three or four statements that would make up your philosophy of life, or that would help form your worldview. Now, Dave, I know I'm putting you right on the spot, but what do you think might be just one or two sentences that make up your philosophy of life? They don't have to be super deep. Like, one of mine was never be late.
Well, I'll tell you the one thing, and there's a really big... there's a verse in the Bible or a section in the Bible that's really impacted my philosophy in life, and that is, when the Pharisees asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, and the other is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And this is when I realized that, because he said the entire law and the prophets hang on those two commandments. And
Matthew 22.
It got me to thinking, if that's the case, then I should actually kind of put this at the forefront of everything and love people. And loving people actually does keep you from doing other things that you shouldn't do.
Okay, now that's good. Now, I usually argue that people should be able to give bullet points for their philosophy of life.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it takes too long to explain it, then it's still kind of fuzzy. You know what I mean?
All right.
So what would be your bullet point?
My bullet point for that would be to love everybody unconditionally.
Okay, good. What does love mean? What does that mean?
To look past their faults.
Okay.
And to see them as a person instead of a thing.
Okay, good. Now, when I teach this at colleges, I always ask people to write down their points. Maybe you've written down some of your points, and a lot of times I have people share them and discuss why. And they say, you know, here's why I give this point, here's why I have this. And then I ask, are all philosophies of life equally valid? And most of the time people say, well, yeah, everyone has a different philosophy of life, but they're all valid.
I see where you're going here.
Okay, now we're going to go to the extreme obvious example.
Yeah.
And usually if I'm in the classroom, I have a PowerPoint and I put up a picture of Jesus and Hitler. And okay. I say, are their philosophies of life equally valid? And they say, no!
All right.
Not at all! Okay, well, why is Jesus' worldview better than Hitler's? What do you think, Dave? Why is Jesus' worldview better than Hitler's?
Because Jesus didn't murder 6 million Jews.
Okay, so as long as you don't murder 6 million Jews,
you know, he's gonna paint me in a corner.
I'm gonna.
I'm not liking you right now.
Okay, look, this is what I do with people in the classroom. They say things like that. Well, Jesus didn't kill 6 million Jews. Okay, so what? As long as you only kill 5 million, is that or
right.
what? Well, no. And they say, look, okay, Hitler hurt people. Jesus didn't hurt anybody.
Right.
Okay, then I put the next slide up. It was a picture of Jesus and a picture of a guy named Dr. Schroeder, who was a gynecologist who was sued for molesting patients while they were sedated.
Right.
Now, Schroeder didn't hurt anyone. No one even knew what he had done if he hadn't been caught. Jesus knocked over tables in the temple. He called people names, and he says that he'll send people to hell. So right. if your belief is that you're evil if you hurt people and you are good as long as you don't hurt them.
Now, let's be honest. If you do something to somebody while they're sedated and you say, well, he didn't hurt anybody. Well, that's really not true because, I mean, they will know. I mean, you can hurt somebody other than physical, psychological, you know, mental. He's looking at me like he's like a snake. He's got that I'm hungry kind of look. I don't like it when you do this.
So what you might be saying is it's important to identify what's good and what's bad, even when there's not really clear distinctions between them. Like you're saying it's wrong to hurt people, but even if someone doesn't feel pain, you can still hurt them.
Yeah.
Okay. Because there's more to hurt than just whether or not someone's consciously aware of you're hurting
them. Right.
So there's something that's right or wrong about those actions in and of themselves.
Right.
Jesus did right, Schroeder did wrong.
Right.
Jesus did right, Hitler did wrong.
Right.
The question is your philosophy helping you to do right and avoid wrong? In America, we have what's called pragmatism as our philosophy. Mm-hmm. It's a philosophy that makes workability and practical consequences the test for truth. Not a test, but the test for truth. We say, as long as it works out, as long as it accomplishes something good, then we believe it's the right thing to do. If I have to do something that seems a little bad to accomplish something great, that's okay
right.
in an American philosophy. But the result is, if you steal money from a bank and you get caught, you go to jail. So pragmatism teaches that either you don't rob the bank or you don't get caught. That's a bad philosophy
right,
of life.
Is.
If you live that to, if you follow it through, that's a bad philosophy. Not all philosophies of life are equal. Look at the list of your philosophies of life. Think through the things that you gave as bullet points. Beside each one, I want you to mark whether you selected it because of the result or because you think it's the right thing to do.
Right.
Because I'm betting a lot of us put on there things that we wanted to get good results from. For instance, I wrote, never be late on mine. What is the result? I chosen because I don't want people to be late. I don't want them to inconvenience me.
Right.
I chose a number of my bullet points in my philosophies of life because of the pragmatic value to them. And I'm suggesting right now that a pragmatic value is not exactly a good way to choose your philosophy of life. Maybe what I really mean is that being late shows a lack of respect for other people. So instead of my philosophies of life saying never be late, maybe I should say show respect to others in every way possible.
Mm-hmm.
Is showing respect to people better than not being late?
It is.
It's better. Plus, it's not so legalistic.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens if someone is late because their grandmother died and they walk into my class late and I say, you have broken and denied one of my philosophies of life.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, they're infringing upon me and I don't like them. They've And you, I mean, of course, we'd all say, well, no, you have to have understanding.
Right.
But that's what we want to do. We want to make sure our philosophies of life line up with what we want to live, with what's right. Because it's wrong to be mad at someone for being late if their grandmother died and they were right. at the funeral. I mean, what we want to do is make sure our philosophies of life line up with what's reality, with what we want to live, what we want to be good and not right. just pragmatic.
Well, and too, when you moved it from never be late to show people respect, it becomes more general mm-hmm. and less specific.
Yeah.
And so it covers more of a multitude of sins.
Yes. Now, change your list.
Okay.
All right. I want everybody out there to go click, find your list, figure out what you put it down there. I want you to change it. And then again, I want you to share it with some people, discuss it, figure out why you wrote those things down. Now, Dave stole his philosophy of life from Jesus, so I'm going to skip that one. But do you think you might have another bullet point philosophy of life? Let's throw one out there, just something that you try to live by.
We'll try to refine it a little bit. Philosophically weak.
Philosophically weak. You drive a motorcycle. Why do you drive a motorcycle?
Oh, because it's fun.
Okay.
Why wouldn't you? I mean,
well, I drive motorcycles too.
Right. I mean, why wouldn't you?
So what about this motorcycle? Like, why do you invest money and time into it?
Because it's fun.
Okay. So you value fun.
Right.
So one of your philosophies of life would be have fun.
Do.
Okay, now that's a little pragmatic, the practical consequences of that.
Uh-huh.
So let's look at
He's going to have me selling my motorcycle by the end of this show.
No, believe me, I don't want to sell mine. Besides, I want you to think, is it the right thing to do to have fun, or is that just, do you like the practical outcome of having fun?
I think it's important to have fun.
Why?
Because I think that it keeps you young and healthy.
Why is that important?
Because it makes you live longer.
Why is that important?
I don't know.
Okay, look, you might say something like this. We're just thinking off the top of our heads. Uh-huh. We're not coming up with perfect answers here.
Right.
You ride motorcycles, you have fun, okay? When you relax, you unwind, you de-stress. Mm-hmm. Riding a motorcycle can do that.
That's true. And I do. I tell it to people that I use the motorcycle as a de-stressor, and it is. It truly is. You get out there and you...
And you do a lot of work. You do this mm-hmm. radio show. You and I both do this for free. Like, right. we don't charge. We don't take salaries from it. We don't... You do a lot of work at the church. You play in the worship team. You help mm-hmm. a lot of people. I know you help a lot of people. When you de-stress, when you take time off, when you relax, you are better built up so that you can help other people.
Right.
So you might say that one of your philosophies of life is make sure that I'm taken care of so that I can help others.
Okay.
All right, now that's an okay. You see what happens there is your bullet point of, I like to ride motorcycles, we drill that down a little bit. Well, why? Well, it helps me relax. Well, why is it important to relax? So that I can help other people. Okay, so that's your real philosophy of life. Do what I have to do to take care of myself so that I can help other people. And you know what? God gave us a very similar philosophy. It's called the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
He said men and women need to rest. Take one day a week and rest. You need it so that you can do what you need to do.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing. You see how cool this is, Dave?
Yeah.
Like, if you think about what you do enough, you either realize that what you're doing is wrong, what you're doing is right, or there's a way that you can vary what you're doing to do it even better. Maybe now you're realizing that some of those weeks where you're super busy and you think you don't have time for a motorcycle ride, now you know what? I just need to go out for 15 minutes.
Right.
And some of those,
man.
And some of those weeks.
I love you.
And some of those weeks when you've been riding for hours and hours, maybe then you need to say, you know what? My philosophy of life says I do this so that I'm relaxed and ready to help other people. Maybe I'm relaxed enough. Maybe I need to go do some good.
Gotcha.
Wouldn't the world be a better place if more people were relaxed and more people were helping others?
That's true. Yeah, because people don't take time out anymore.
And so, look, we got all this from one question. Why do you ride your motorcycle?
That's awesome.
If we know our philosophy of life, we can determine what type of people we want to be and then make decisions based upon that. All right, when we're coming back, we're going to go a little bit deeper. I'm going to actually share my philosophy of life mm-hmm. with you, where how I changed the rest of my bullet points and my biggest philosophy of life. Check us out, truthrevolution.tv. Come out to Revolution Church this morning, 10:15.
About half an hour.
SalinaRevolution.com is our address online. Uh-huh. 1111 West South Street is our physical address. So come on out, 10:15 this morning. Catch us on the other side of the show right after this break. We're coming right back. I'm going to share a dilemma with you and see if you can solve it using your philosophy of life.
We'll be right back.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back.
Hey.
We are talking about philosophy today. Do you got one? Is it good? Is it bad?
Yeah, philosophically is good.
Mm-hmm.
Philosophy is good and great, and you should know what your philosophy of life is. Otherwise, you won't be able to make the best decisions.
Right.
You know, whether you're 10 years old or 100 years old, you make decisions based on what you believe. If you don't know what you believe and you don't know why you believe it, you're going to be making some really bad decisions.
Right.
Can your philosophy of life evolve, Dave?
I believe it can.
I believe it should.
I think because...
I don't think a 10-year-old should have the same philosophy as a 2-year-old.
Right.
I don't think a 30-year-old should have the same philosophy as a 10-year-old.
Right. Well, we were discussing that at the break with Chris, our engineer.
Smart guy.
And yeah, you do learn things as you get older. And, you know, as I'll turn 45 this year, and I'm constantly saying, boy, man, if I knew then what I know now.
Yeah.
You know, and so obviously.
So you change and you grow.
Things change.
And you change your philosophy of life,
right.
Just like you did with your motorcycle philosophy. You know, like the more you think about it, the better you can do.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, I changed one of my philosophies here. We were talking, I said never be late, but we realized we don't want to be just pragmatic. We don't want the outcomes to be why we choose our philosophies. We want to choose them because it's right and wrong. So maybe instead of never being late, we ask, well, why don't I want people to be late? I don't want them to be late because it's disrespectable.
Disrespectful.
Disrespectful.
That's disrespectful.
Did I say disrespectful? One of my philosophies of life is always use correct English.
Uh-huh.
All right. So we changed that to show respect to others in every way possible because it was really about respect. So we changed one of Dave's. Now I have a quote by Chuck Swindoll here. It's really kind of neat. He says, world philosophies have been summarized in this manner. Greece said, be wise, know yourself. Rome said, be strong, discipline yourself. Religion says, be holy, conform yourself. Epicureanism says, be sensuous, enjoy yourself. Education says, be resourceful, expand yourself. Materialism says, be satisfied, please yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Psychology says, be confident, fulfill yourself. Pride says, be superior, promote yourself. Asceticism says, be inferior, suppress yourself. Humanism says, be capable, believe in yourself. Philanthropy says, be generous, give yourself. Legalism says, be pious, limit yourself. Isn't it interesting how all the philosophies end with the same word?
Yeah.
And how each one seems to differ from the philosophy of Jesus Christ, which is be a servant, think of others.
Wow. You just blew my mind.
Chuck Swindoll blew your mind, actually.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that pretty cool, though?
Yeah, that is cool.
You know, if my first bullet point was, for my philosophies of life, if I don't make a positive impact on the world, my life is wasted.
Mm-hmm.
That's focused on me. That's focused. If I don't make a positive impact, my life is wasted. Now, of course, it's about making a positive impact. That's a good thing. But we're changing our philosophies of life here today. We're trying to make them good and better. So what if my philosophies were more Christ-like? What if instead of being all about me, what if it said my philosophy of life was make a positive impact in others' lives rather than waste precious time and energy?
Right.
See, then it's about them and what I can do to help them. And so let's reword, right now if you're doing this, reword your philosophies with a focus on others rather than on yourself.
Don't you think that some people would say that that's just semantics and you really have the same philosophy, you're just changing it to make it sound good?
Okay.
What would you say to that?
I would say the first one was, if I don't make a positive impact on the world, my life is wasted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Remember last week we gave the dilemma about the boat and the people were in the boat and it was sinking and some people had to go overboard.
Right.
According to my philosophy in life, if my philosophy was, if I don't make a positive impact on the world, my life is wasted, would I jump over the side of that boat and save
my
life?
No, you don't want to waste your life.
No, I'm not going to waste my life.
Mm-hmm.
But my new one, make a positive impact in others' lives rather than waste precious time and energy, I would sacrifice myself.
Right. Okay.
You see, it sounds like it's semantics, but it's not. Because when it comes down to it, making an impact in them rather than wasting time, wasting energy, now I know I'm not going to waste time, I'm not going to waste energy, I'm going to do what's right away. There's no decisions that need to be processed and thought. I'm just going to do the right thing to make a positive impact in their life.
Right.
It's not about me, it's about them. And using my time right now to make it good for them. And so, although it sounds like it's just a semantic difference, it's not a semantic difference. It is a real difference.
Okay. And do you think that's something that maybe you'll have to change over a course of time? Instead of making it about you, you make it about them. I mean, is that something that you can switch on and off? You know?
I'm not sure what you mean. So explain that.
Well, basically you're saying, okay, the first one is all about you.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're making it all about them.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you do automatically, or is that something?
No,
that's
something you do. That's why we're writing these down.
Okay.
And that's why we're figuring them out. Because it, you know, I had figured it out a little bit, and I thought, okay, I don't want to waste my life. And so we have these philosophies of life that drive us. Now, if I know that I don't want to waste my life, that question's going to come out. Well, if I sacrifice myself, am I wasting my life? So I reword it. I change it. I rethink it to be more like Jesus.
Okay.
And then I change that to make a positive impact in their life. And then all of a sudden, okay, now that's what's going through my mind. That's my conscious decision every day. Make a positive impact in their life. And when it's reworded to focus on others rather than me, then I have the ability to make those decisions based on what I've predetermined already to do.
Okay, so it gives you a better path.
Gives me a better path.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me give you a dilemma. And see if you can use
okay.
use your life philosophies to solve it.
All right.
You're the I love these. You're the driver of a trolley. It loses its brakes and starts speeding out of control.
Mm-hmm.
You see five men ahead working on the track who you know will die when the trolley hits them. You realize that you could steer off the track, but you notice another man getting into his car who would die when he was struck by the trolley.
Oh, no.
What do you do? Stay on the track or veer off?
Wow. See, I thought I had this figured out. I don't know. I don't know. You got to let the trolley go.
Let me give you part B, okay?
Okay.
And I want people to use their philosophy of life. Now suppose you're watching this scene from a bridge above. You notice there's a large man next to you watching as well. If you push
him, the same guy from the cave.
Actually, it's his brother.
Okay.
It's his twin brother. If you push him over the edge in front of the trolley, it will save the lives of the five men, but he will die.
Okay.
What do you do?
You don't do that.
Why not? You could save the lives of all those men, plus maybe the people in the trolley.
Well,
only one guy.
It's one of the things that we were talking about after last week's show with the philosophy of you can control what you do. Okay, and you can't control what other people do,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you're not going to take a life. And so you taking a life is on you, but, you know, if you don't take a life, you know.
That's not on you.
That's not on you. That's on somebody else.
One of my philosophies of life, my worldview says this, make a positive impact in others' lives rather than waste precious time and energy.
Right.
I see something like this going down. I have an obligation morally to myself to make a positive impact. Rather than wasting time and energy.
You're jumping.
If I know that me jumping in front of that trolley will save their lives,
right.
I'm jumping. Rather than trying to save the lives of you know myself and everybody, or I will make a positive impact in others' lives. I will not waste mm-hmm. time or energy by debating with myself whether I should or not. I already know I should. It's my philosophy.
I'd still be stuck on the bridge trying to figure stuff out.
Yeah. Wait, if my philosophy, if I carry the T to the moral dilemma.
Where'd Jeff go?
Look, can philosophy apply to our lives? Yes. Philosophy applies to our lives every single day. There's no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, do you know what your philosophy of life is enough that you could make the hard decisions? Maybe you wouldn't make the same decision as me. That's okay. Many of us come to different conclusions, but you don't answer to me.
Right.
You'll answer to God.
Right.
So I'm not concerned whether you have the same answer as me. I'm concerned whether or not you have an answer that you believe will be pleasing to God.
Right.
And I'm concerned whether you have an answer at all.
Right.
Most people don't have any kind of clue. I ask them questions like this, and they look at me as like, what?
Right. And they're struck dumbfounded because of a
trolley.
Yeah, because they're struck dumbfounded because of a wavering philosophy of life.
Right. They have no idea. What they would do.
You know what?
Now, granted, most of us, I'll let you talk in a second.
Okay.
Granted, most of us are never going to be stuck in a situation where a trolley's out of control underneath us uh-huh. and there's a fat man on a bridge beside of us.
Right.
Okay. If you do, I guarantee you remember this show. And
right.
you're like, why didn't I do the exercise and write down my philosophy
right.
of life? But, you know, I mean, but we are going to encounter dilemmas and hard things in our life every day. You encounter them at work, with your family, with your in-laws, with your friends. You come into situations where you don't know exactly what to do. It's fuzzy.
Right.
And so that's why we do these exercises, to know what our philosophy is.
Okay. We're missing something.
What?
A Bible contradiction.
A Bible contradiction.
And we're squeezing this in just in the nick of time, I think. We're almost out of time here. But
yeah,
Bible Contradiction today is dealing with sexual relations.
Hmm?
Yes.
Dave, this show's like PG.
It is. But this is the G part.
Okay.
Well.
What?
The guidance part. The parental guidance part. You know what I meant. Anyway, we are just going to...
Just throw it out there,
dude. Figure stuff out.
Just throw
Genesis 19:30-32 says, Lot and his two daughters left Zoar, settled in the mountains, for he was afraid to stay near in Zoar. He and his two daughters lived in the cave. One day, the older daughter said to the younger, our father is old, and there is no man around here to lie with us, as is custom all over the earth.
Okay.
Let us get our father to drink wine, and then lie with him and preserve our family line through our father. However,
that's not my philosophy of life.
Leviticus 18:6 says, no one is to approach any close relative to have sexual relations. What gives here?
All right, so in Genesis, the dad's having relations with his daughters.
Right.
In Leviticus, it says...
So that's a no-no.
No-no.
Mm-hmm.
Which one is it?
Right.
Okay, you know what? Just like last week, let me explain something.
I had a feeling.
This is important when you're looking at Bible contradictions. Just because the Bible tells you something happened doesn't mean it approves of it.
Right.
Like Dave pointed out last week. Cain killed Abel. And the Bible tells us that Cain killed Abel. Does this mean that God approves of Cain killing Abel?
No.
No. The Bible tells lots of things that people did that were stupid.
Matter.
Look, these daughters of Lot got their dad drunk and then had sex with him.
Right.
That is not something the Bible's saying do it.
Right.
It's just something that happened. All right. So the Bible, of course, lots of people disobeying. That's the first thing. But the second thing, let's even go further back. Let's not worry about Lot and his daughters. Let's think about Adam and Eve for a second.
Uh-huh.
Their kids had to marry each other because there were no other Homo sapiens.
Right.
But you see, what happened when Adam and Eve were there was that things were way different. The reason that sexual relations among close relatives is forbidden is because disease, disorders, genetic problems occur. That's why God started to forbid it. And that's why it's disgusting to us now. It's been convinced in our minds that we shouldn't do this because for thousands of years we've known it's a bad idea.
Right.
But it was humanity's way different then. They didn't have the same genetic disorders, the problems they do now. So check us out online, truthrevolution.tv. That's the answer for Bible contradiction today. I hope you've figured out your philosophy of life. Check us out, truthrevolution.tv. Listen to the show again. Figure out your philosophy of life. Come on over to Revolution Church, where we talk about our philosophies of life.
Starting in about 15 minutes.
What Jesus believes. And, you know, we do it relaxed. Uh-huh. Just wear what you're wearing right now. Come on over to Revolution Church. We start at 10:15 a.m. Check us out online, truthrevolution.tv. I hope you have a truth revolution in your life.
Have a great week.
And God bless.